In the sitting room of the Harrison family house, with my hair shorn, I was made to sit in the center of many women who were clad in black. A woman who claimed to be the most senior of all the Harrisons' daughters-in-law had given me a black oversized blouse and wrapper to wear. It was about 9 p.m. I was hungry and tired, with no strength in me to cry anymore. I sat on the floor staring blankly into space, hoping I would just wake up and discover that the whole episode was one horrible nightmare. Why should death rip off half of my being? What would become of my unborn baby? None of Victor's relatives knew anything yet. Even Victor died, not knowing that he left a seed behind. You must not stop crying, or else they will conclude you have a hand in his death, a middle-aged woman whispered in my ear. I resumed crying with the other women, while the men continued to drink schnapp and eat cola nut. The night went on like that. The next day was when my real nightmare started. I was told that I would have to sleep in the same room with Victor's body for the remaining days before the burial, as well as drink water used in bathing him. I was made to understand that while the first act could be settled financially, the latter I had to go through because it was the only way to exonerate me from being considered as the architect of my husband's death. When I heard this, I fainted. When I came to, I found myself in a dimly lit room. The only voice I heard was that of Victor's elder sister, remembering what she had told me. I tried to explain to her why I couldn't perform the act demanded of me. My sister, please help me. Apart from the fact that the act is absurd, I am pregnant and it can hurt the baby, I said. My dear, that is the custom and it cannot be changed by you, replied Victor's sister. Please help my unborn child. What will happen to him if I drink that, I stammered. If you don't have a hand in his death, nothing would happen to you or the baby, Victor's sister said. But he died in an accident, I protested. Which could have been engineered by you to get hold of his properties, Victor's sister said, and left. I was dumbfounded. Engineer the death of my husband? And for some property? How callous could people be? I tried to push off the thought of I should have listened to my parents. What kind of custom would allow another human being to drink water from a corpse? I was still trying to grapple with the facts before me when my sister-in-law returned. All our relatives have come to an arrangement that will both suit you and our unborn baby. I hope that the news was that they were sorry about the obnoxious traditional rites that they said I had to pass through. To keep the family name going, and so that Victor's line will remain, it has been decided that you marry Imma, your husband's immediate younger brother, who is the only other male on your husband's mother's side, she said. She said this as if it were some good news, and again left, this time locking the door after her. My head went light. I felt deep hunger pangs. I'd not eaten since morning. They had said it was my fasting for the dead day. Supper was later brought by a young girl who behaved like someone acting under strict instructions. She entered, placed the food on the floor, and went to open the window. The moonlight streamed in, followed by a refreshing breeze. The girl left without uttering a word. The only furniture in the room was the iron bed. I felt like I was in a cell. Was I now to be treated like a criminal all because my husband died? After all, they were the ones that summoned him home and were probably the engineers of his death. I looked at the food. It was yam pottage. I did not want to eat their food, as I wasn't sure what the true contents were. Maybe part of the corpse. I shuddered. Oh, they can't do that. I then took it up to the window and scrutinized it. I needed energy, so I ate some. I went back to the window and stared into the heavens, calling silently for help. My glance landed on a bush path at the backyard. If only I could climb the window. But it had iron bars. If I could get my head through, the rest of my body would follow. Luckily for me, I could pull the bed, but it made noise. I dragged it intermittently towards the window so as not to attract attention. It was about 1 a.m., and with my task done, I leapt off the window ledge, following the bush path to the express road, which was not far away, and I was lucky to get on one of the late-night buses on its way to Lagos. On the seventh day of Victor's death, my family and I went to the Pentecostal church and a funeral ceremony was held for Victor. His picture represented his corpse. After the 40th day mandatory sit at home, mourn and do nothing rites, I left my elder sister's home where I'd stayed all through, accompanied by my sister, her husband and some of my friends, and went home. As if lying in wait for us, the moment we got into the house, the relatives of Victor drove in a Mitsubishi bus. It was followed by an empty pickup van. They came in without knocking, sending my heart throbbing at double speed. Ima was amongst them, and he was the one that spoke.
We thought that you would run forever. How could you do that to brother? Couldn't you wait to at least pour ashes and dust on his coffin?
How could I stay when your people asked me to drink water from Victor's body?
Couldn't you do it for brother? You loved him, Abby.
Another man who seemed quite impatient said that they should go about the business that brought them. He told the gathering that, for failing to perform the funeral rites for your late husband, the family no longer regards you as wife. However, the pregnancy you claim to be carrying still belongs to us and we will come for the child a year after it is born. I chuckled. We also want to pack all the properties of our son and brother and we're giving you 5 days to leave this house. And then you must hand over the keys to his shop and the sewing workshop to us.
My sister and I laughed. They had divorced me from the dead, but wanted the unborn child, and then all the property. So, with what was I to take care of myself and the baby? I called Ima.
You know where Victor and I keep the documents, the suitcase on top of our wardrobe. Please bring it, I said. I was sad that Victor's memory should be marred by such nonsense. Ima brought the suitcase and handed it over to me. I'm surprised that you're part of this delegation, Brother Ima, I said. As I opened the suitcase, nothing in this house is hidden from you.
They said I should bring them, and I have. I was only mad at you for not waiting for the final interment.
I brought out several documents, and my in-laws realized that the house and the two cars, including the one involved in the accident, were my inheritance. The receipts of all the electronic gadgets bore my name, and the certificate of ownership of the sewing workshop was in my name. I opened the superstore for Victor, and I do not want to lay claim to it, since it was a gift from me to him. And then, of course, his clothes, most of which I bought, are gifts too. You may have them. As I said this, two of the relatives stormed out. The others looked at Ima.
Don't look at me. I have been trying to tell you that brother had no job after he was sacked from the bank that confiscated all his belongings. His wife has been the one taking care of us and opened a shop for him.
My in-laws became limp.
and went out with their heads bowed. It was then that I appreciated the reason why my loving husband insisted that I should put my name on the receipt of everything I bought in the house. He must have known how greedy and hard-hearted his relatives were. I was not in their agenda. I would have been left in the cold.